Radio.
Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Slow down. Good morning and welcome. This is the Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy, and I'm Henry Cuenca sitting in today. I welcome you to my show about passion. The focus of my show is seeking those who hold and live passions. These guests have demonstrated that they live for a cause and hold a steadfast, compelling sense of purpose. In many cases, passions and purposes are driven quietly, subtly, and unseen, but yet cause significant impact to individuals and society as a whole. This is what my show is all about. And we have a wonderful group of guests today. And my first guest is Natalie Putman. She is a group exercise instructor, and she brings some inspiring, compelling experiences on not only good health, but overall leading a wholesome life. Natalie, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Natalie, I know that you overcame one of the biggest challenges that we Americans face, and that is one of obesity. Recently, Reading, Shasta County, is noted as one of the most unhealthy counties in California, and that we rank down near the bottom of overall health. And I know that as a group exercise instructor, you yourself fit that role yourself many years ago, in that you were approaching morbid obesity. And looking at you now, you look pretty sharp and you look pretty good. So you made some big transformations in your life.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I grew up here in Reading. Big family. My mom is Mexican, and so all of our family gatherings centered around rice and beans and enchiladas and tortillas.
Corn tortillas. I mean, flour tortillas, right?
Everything. And really, honestly, growing up, health and fitness and calories and all of that was not even a part of my consciousness. I was not even aware of that. We were really just, my mom was always saying, eat some more, let's be healthy, eat some more. She says that to me still today, actually. You need to eat some more. But just growing up that way, I never exercised, I never ever set foot in a gym, and so I became obese.
You know, I share common Hispanic history, mm-hmm. and I can relate to the fact that, you know, we had to have three or four flour tortillas, you know, homemade with dinner and breakfast with butter.
That was just the snack.
Well,
yeah.
Of course it is. Yeah. Absolutely. But so tell us about the fact that you wake up one morning and you realize that something is not right.
Well, I met my husband in high school. And he is a wonderful man who loved me no matter what my size. And we got married really young at 19. We were both in college, and I was overweight at that time. And it was just kind of like a slow dawning of the realization that, you know, I'm not healthy. I can't run a mile. We had a class in college where we were supposed to time ourselves running a mile. I literally could not run for a whole mile. And it was just like realizing this is not a healthy way of life. And then on our one-year anniversary, my husband took a picture. And when I got that picture back, I looked at myself and said, am I really that big? Is that the size that I am? And I think that was the day I realized I need to do something to change this.
Mm-hmm. And at the time, your BMI, and I'm going to let you explain BMI for us in a second, But essentially, your BMI at that date was about 38, and which is approaching morbid obesity. And when we come back, we want you to explain to us just exactly what BMI is.
All right.
experience and quality, and someone who's reliable, Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Hello, Melinda Brown here for People of Progress with a great way to help yourself while you help your community. It's simple. Buy just one shirt or a book or even a knickknack from People of Progress's Super Thrift Shop. This instantly makes five important things happen. You'll pick up great stuff at great prices. You'll help People of Progress's Food Bank and Resource Center stay open so we can serve 16,000 people this year with 240,000 meals, clothing, blankets, and community gardens. And you'll reuse and repurpose items, which saves energy, natural resources, and space in the landfill. So check us out in person at the Pop Thrift Shop in downtown Reading and bring a friend to help you choose from literally thousands of high-quality items. All proceeds stay local to help your local community, so shop Pop. We're open Monday through Saturday in downtown Reading. Our motto is do what you can with what you have where you are. With this community's help, we've served homeless and hungry people in Shasta County for 40 years. With your help, we can continue to do so. Buy a shirt, shop Pop.
Welcome back to Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy. And I'm Henry Cuenca, and I'm interviewing Natalie Putnam. And Natalie, you were telling us that you had a obesity or had a BMI of about 38 in those days. And can you explain BMI for us?
It's basically, it's your body mass index. It's an easy formula to see how much fat you have in your body. Mm-hmm. So you just can plug in your height and your weight and get a percentage of fat. And it really does a lot to tell you, a lot about your health. And, you know, the higher your BMI, the more diseases you're prone to.
Mm-hmm. What is a healthy BMI?
Between 18 and 25 is considered normal.
And you're right around there, that 24, 25, and you do look like a picture of health.
Oh, thank you.
No question. The Internet has a lot of formulas for BMI, but if any of you would like an Excel sheet, one of my coworkers created a BMI chart, and all you do is plug in your height and your weight. You can email me at HRC8@AOL.com, and I will forward to you a BMI chart. So tell me, once you made this realization that you didn't like what you saw in that picture, take us from there to becoming a group exercise instructor.
Well, I just decided I need to make some changes, and basically I had to learn all about health and nutrition. I knew nothing about calories and fat and what was in the food that I was eating, so I started educating myself. I started exercising in my living room to home videos, actually. Mm-hmm. Richard Simmons was who started me out.
I know him.
Yeah. And, you know, when I started, I could not complete one Richard Simmons home video. And I just decided, you know, I'm going to do this. And it's a long process. It's never going to be something you can do right away overnight. And so I just made a commitment, and the pounds started coming off. And I joined a gym after I had lost a little bit of weight and was in a little bit better shape. And started exercising there, and I realized I loved group fitness. I started taking classes there, and I just loved doing that.
And that was a local organization, I presume, right?
Yes.
And from joining a fitness gym, how did you get to become a group instructor?
Actually, one of my instructors and I started talking, and I said, you know, that looks like a lot of fun, what you're doing up there in front. And she gave me all the resources that I needed. She arranged a training for me. So I went to a training where they teach you everything that you need to know and started practicing. And that was, I mean, I was young at that time. That was a while ago.
How long ago was that?
I was about 20, 21 at that time. And so I got certified and I started teaching. And then there was a little speed bump in the road. I was in a car accident, pretty serious car accident, and I was laid up for a while. And I also got pregnant at that time with my first child. And those things...
That wasn't an accident.
Well, no. That was planned. But those things combined to put some weight back on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the neat thing is a lot of people can relate to that. Once you lose weight, it's not like it's just going to stay off forever. It's a lifetime commitment. And to this day, I have to be careful. I watch what I eat. I give myself a daily calorie count. I journal my food. You know, it's still a process.
Well, you keep a log of everything that you digest.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. And what? Who does the meal planning in your home?
Me.
You do?
Yes.
And how many days or hours in advance do you have your meals planned?
I do a week at a time. So usually on Sunday, I'll plan out my meals for the week. I'll grocery shop on Monday, and then I have what I need for that week.
You know, I just read a report that says that 70% of American families do not know what they're serving for dinner at 5 o'clock in the evening. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? You know what that means? That means it's going to be pizza for tonight, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that contributes to the obesity situation that we have in this country, you know, with 60% of us Americans facing obesity.
Mm-hmm.
And children now, even as young as 4 or 5 years old, getting diabetes. So meal planning is certainly very integral, isn't it,
in maintaining
good health. What really inspired you? Was it your husband's...
To get into group fitness or to get healthy? You know, my husband is my biggest fan. He loves me no matter what.
Wow.
He really does. He loved me when I was morbidly obese, and he supported me in whatever I wanted to do. When I said I want to lose weight, I want to start exercising, he supported me, not because he was saying to me, you need to get skinny. He said, if that's what you want to do, then go for it. And he still is my biggest fan to this day. I mean, he really is a big part of why I can teach group exercise. He helps me with the kids. He, mm-hmm. you know, picks up the slack when I'm at the gym for several hours in a row. And I just appreciate all he does.
Well, isn't that a wonderful relationship? I understand also that you're a graduate of Simpson College.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a degree in teaching.
Yes, I have a teaching credential.
And you did teach.
I did. I taught kindergarten until I had my son.
I see. And you never went back to teaching, at least in schools.
Right.
But you do have quite a following, as I understand, in your group exercise.
Oh, my goodness. I love teaching. Well, especially, it seems like the kids really like the dance fitness classes, and I love doing that. I've gone to several schools and done a Zumba class for them, and I have a ton of high schoolers who come and take my class, and it's so much fun to see them get excited and have fun while they're being healthy.
Well, I'm told that you're a very, very inspirational instructor, and there are those students of yours that really prefer to sign up with you versus other folks.
Well, thank you.
So what is it that causes you, what is this inspiration that you convey to your students?
You know, honestly, I just try to be a light wherever I am. If that's in my home with my children, that's at Winco doing my grocery shopping, if that's in the gym, I just try to be a light to people. And honestly, I am having so much fun doing it. It is a passion for me. I love my job. I love going to work. I love leading these classes, and I think that probably comes across.
Well, I think no doubt that it does. In one of your sessions, just one session, about how many calories does one burn in a full exercise session?
Well, it depends on what class you're taking. I teach several different classes.
Mm-hmm.
Like our group power class, that is made to be a muscle building class, and so you don't burn as many calories because you're building muscle, mm-hmm. as you would say like in a cycling class where your goal is cardio and calorie burn.
Mm-hmm. And the other extreme is to the maximum number of calories, the other end?
Oh, well, let's see. If you're working hard and doing what I'm telling you to do, in an hour you could burn, depending on what you're doing, you can burn 600-700 calories.
That's quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
That is at least one cheeseburger, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Natalie, I want to ask a little bit more of when you had this very tragic accident.
Hmm.
And this was a complete change of life. And I guess there was a lot of introspection during that period. And when we get back from our break, I'd like for you to tell us just what sort of things went through your emotions during this recovery period.
Do you have neck, shoulder, or back pain? Did you know that acupuncture can help? The experts at Reading Acupuncture Healthcare can treat all these problems and so much more. Acupuncture is a virtually painless therapy that's been used in China for over 1,000 years. It stops pain by stimulating the production of pain-killing endorphins while improving blood flow to the area of pain. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare has 2 experienced acupuncturists with over 25 years of combined experience. Reading Acupuncture is the largest acupuncture clinic in Shasta County and offers the most extensive selection of Chinese herbs, teas, books, and aromatherapy products in their herbal pharmacy. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is conveniently open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Tuesdays and Thursdays until 7 p.m. We also have Saturday appointments available for your convenience. If you or a loved one have pain that prevents you from enjoying life to the fullest, then call today for a free consultation at 223-2346. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is in the Rayleigh's Cobblestone Shopping Center on Hartnell. Call today, 223-2346.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Reading restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Reading to find our website.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy, and I'm Henry Cuenca, and I'm interviewing Natalie Putman. And Natalie, you were in a tragic accident, and could you tell us a little bit more detail about this accident and the effect that it had on you?
Yeah, I don't know that I would even say tragic, but it was. It did stop my life for a while. I was actually at a stop waiting to turn, and someone rear-ended me going 50 miles an hour.
Sounds pretty heavy.
It was. And, you know, I was laid up for a while. I was in physical therapy for a long time. I still have some back issues from that, but they are managed most of the time through exercise. And so that just was, like I said, it was the speed bump. It made me take a step back. I had to slow down a lot. I gained some weight back. I got pregnant, you know.
So you had a lot of stuff going on, right? And of course, you gained weight. And when you were through therapy, you got back on the...
I had a couple of babies.
Okay. So you had some real challenges.
Yeah. And when my second child, my daughter, was 6 months old, I started teaching again. So during that time, so about 3 years, I worked out, but I did not teach any classes while I had a toddler and an infant for a while. And then when my daughter was 6 months old, I went back and I started teaching again, and the weight all came off again.
Good for you. And you've maintained it, obviously. Natalie, you are performing, you and your husband and your family are performing, I think, just the most beautiful thing in adopting two children. And I know that's on the works. I know this is a family situation involving your children and, of course, your husband. And Natalie is about to adopt 2 Ethiopian children. And this is a big step. And, Natalie, can you tell us about how all that happened and what's going on with that?
Well, my husband and I started talking last year. We really felt like God had something else for us. We didn't know what it was. We started praying, and we were basically saying, God, what is this next step? We feel like there's something else we need to be doing with our lives. And we prayed through many, many options. And one night we were laying in bed, and my husband says to me, out of the blue, I was kind of shocked. I thought we were done, actually, having children. We had our boy and our girl, and he says, you know, what do you think about the idea of adoption? And I have to say, instantly, this little fire was lit in my heart. I was excited, and we did a lot more talking, a lot more praying. We included our children in the decision-making, talked about it a lot with them, researched a lot. But ultimately, we decided that this is what we were meant to do. And so we started the process back in February for adopting some children from Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know who those children are. God knows who our children are, but we don't know them yet. And we are basically waiting. We've completed all of our paperwork, our home study, our background checks, all the things the government requires of you. And we are sending that all over to Ethiopia. And now we are going to wait on the Ethiopian government.
Wow, that's inspiring. And when do you think that you're going to receive the children?
You know, honestly, we don't know. When we signed the first round of paperwork in February, we had a timeline, a rough estimate. However, since that time, Ethiopia has changed many of their policies,
mm-hmm.
and no one really knows how it's going to affect the wait time yet, although we're pretty sure it's going to make it longer. So if I had to guess, I would say about a year, but it could be 6 months, it could be a year and a half. We don't really know.
And how did you zero in on Ethiopia?
Well, when we decided that we were going to adopt, we started looking into the different options, you know, domestic adoption, foster adopt, international adoption, which one was right for our family. And we really felt called to Ethiopia. We started looking at all these different countries, and it's really hard to explain except to say that the Lord laid it on our hearts. This is where your children are. Go and get them. And so we are.
Wow, how inspiring. And you have made this a family undertaking,
mm-hmm.
because I know that your two current children are also part of this process. And can you explain a little bit more as to how the whole family has gathered in this whole adoption process?
Well, when my husband and I started feeling fairly certain this is what we were going to do, we brought it up with our children. My son is 9, my daughter's 6. And our son understood a little more, actually, obviously. And we told him, you know, this is something that we are considering for our family. How do you feel about that? And our son's first response was, well, if we got more kids, that would mean less stuff for me, you know? Less time with my mom. That might be kind of hard. But he did say, I need to think about it. And I told him, I said, Joel, pray about it. Let's pray about it together as a family and see how we feel about this. And it was several weeks of praying together as a family at night with our children. God, what do you want us to do? Is this what you want us to do? And it was so neat to see how God worked in their hearts. They are now so excited about the whole thing. I mean, my son asks me at least every week, Mom, is there anything new with the adoption? Mom, have you heard yet? Anything?
And he's
9 years old. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really, truly excited. They want to have a lemonade stand to raise some money so that they can buy some things for the orphanage where their brother and sister would be coming from. I'm just so proud of my kids.
Well, you should be.
And, you know, I know there's going to be a big transition and a big reality shock when we do get those kids. It's mm-hmm. going to be hard. But I do feel like my kids are as well prepared as they could
be.
Boy,
it sure sounds that way. Now, do you have any idea as to the age or the gender of the two children that you're going to adopt?
Well, we tell Ethiopia in our packet what children that we would accept. And so we said we would take children between the ages of 6 months, which is the youngest they adopt out, to 6 years, so that we maintain our birth order, so younger than our current children.
Mm-hmm.
And we told them we would take 2 or 3, so we might end up with 3 more children. You never know.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty quick stuff.
They get to pick for us, and we do have the option. You know, they will send us the information, the medical history, and we could say, oh, no, but I have a feeling that we will say, yes, let's go get them.
Wow, how exciting mm-hmm. that is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, wonderful. Congratulations to
Thank
your whole family.
You.
Natalie, I know that you've had some very recent experiences, very tragic experiences with some very close relationships of yours that have weighed very, very heavy on your heart and your mind. And I'm wondering if you could just share what you can about that to us.
Well, it seems like the last few years, our life has revolved a little bit around cancer. We had a really good friend who died from cancer 1 year ago in May. And walking that path with his family and his wife, and, you know, it's a life-changing experience. And then the one-year anniversary of his death, our other really good friend was diagnosed with cancer. So that was, it's been tough. That was just in May. He's still new on this road that we are walking with him. But, you know, it's just neat to see how no matter what life circumstances you are in, the Lord can be your strength. He can be your joy. He can be your hope. And that's what I see in our friend.
Well, Natalie, you're just an inspiration to all of us. And you do make a difference. And you do weigh in to touching people's lives and society. And I want to thank you very, very much for being in our show, on our show, and being so open and sincere about your life.
Thank you.
So this is KCNR 1460 Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media, and we'll be back.
Hi, I'm Amy Rogers. I'm a certified massage therapist with a bachelor's degree in kinesiology. I've worked with a broad spectrum of clients that have a variety of needs. I like to help people get rid of their physical pain so they can enjoy their lives. You can find me at Dr. Trudy Pratt's office at 244-7873. Most insurance is accepted. Number again is 244-7873. Let this be the year that you care for yourself.
You've seen all the amazing products on TV. Now find them all in one place. The As Seen on TV store next to Dairy Queen on Churn Creek. If it slices, dices, chops, cooks, cleans, grills, drills, or fixes, they've got it. Just about anything that gets you in shape or simply makes your life a little easier. Over 1,000 As Seen on TV products all in one place. But wait, there's more. No waiting for delivery, no shipping and handling. Take it home today at the As Seen on TV store next to Dairy Queen on Churn Creek Road.
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Waltrip. You know, as a three-time Winston Cup champion, now I know something about good machines. That's why, for my new home, I chose Water Furnace Geothermal Heating and Cooling. You see, to be the best, you've got to use the best. And a geothermal system from Water Furnace is the best way to heat and cool your home. It's efficient and reliable, plus it'll cut your energy bills by up to 60%. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
Like Darrell Waltrip says, a water furnace system is a winning combination of energy savings, exceptional comfort, and reliable performance. And with today's skyrocketing cost of electric rates and costly tiers, you could save up to 70% in heating, cooling, and hot water costs. Consider the smart switch to a geothermal comfort system or turbocharge your existing furnace with an add-on unit. For more information, see Crystal Air on the web at www.crystalair.info or call 530-623-1000.
Welcome back to Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy. On a final note on Natalie. Natalie is, if she's inspired any of you to want to know more about her classes, you can reach Natalie at Sun Oaks. So, welcome back. Our next guest, we have a retired school district landscaper and an instructional assistant at local schools. And not only do they provide, create, and maintain beautiful gardens, but probably more importantly, they plant seeds of education in minds and bodies of young children who participate in their gardening programs. And I'd like to introduce our guests, retired landscaper Rob Abernathy and Tracy Wilson. Welcome to today's show.
Thank you, Henry.
Thanks, Henry.
So, Rob, you're a landscaper, and you graduated from Cal Poly with a degree in gardening. Is that correct?
I graduated from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo in horticulture, minor in soil science.
And you've been working at the local schools for how many years?
I just retired after 27 years, landscaping and groundskeeping.
Uh-huh. And even though you've retired, it sounds like you're working more now volunteering at various schools and teaching gardening. Is that correct?
That's correct. At Sycamore School. Excuse me. At Sycamore School, we started a little garden project based on a grant to get the kids outside. And to get their hands dirty, so to speak. And it's just grown leaps and bounds over the last couple of years, and Tracy Wilson has headed it up as far as a teacher, and her enthusiasm is carried over to the kids, too.
And Tracy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've loved gardening my whole life, and I just kind of self-taught. I did do the Master Gardener program when I was about 28 years old down in Santa Clara through the Cooperative Extension.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do have that little certificate on the wall. I've been an instructional assistant with the Redding School District for 14 years and just maintain a home garden that I'm passionate about. And so it was very exciting to be able to start doing this school garden with Rob. I felt very blessed to have him as a partner in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's a wealth of knowledge.
He's a very,
very knowledgeable
person.
So I've learned a lot from him also, but it's been so exciting working with the children and getting them in the garden.
And how long have you two been together?
Rob and I
yes.
have known each other through the school district. He would come and take care of the school grounds at our school about once a week. Or later on, it became more than that. But he. So we've known each other for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you said a key word, that you have mm-hmm. a passion about gardens anyway.
Yes.
that's kind of just pops out. What inspires you about gardening?
Just the nurturing part of it. And, you know, that's just really strong in me, taking care of people and plants. And it's just something that's in me naturally, I think, because even when I didn't have a little plot of land to work as a youngster, I ordered Organic Gardening magazine when I was like 18 years old.
Really?
And that subscription has not been broken since, and I'm 50 now.
I didn't realize that they had Organic Gardening.
Oh, it's a magazine that's been around since the 30s or 40s.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so.
Rob, what caused you to become interested in gardening and to actually go in and get a degree?
Probably many things. You know, as a kid, I was always inspired by, I guess, my faith that the creation that God created was just so beautiful. I couldn't help but fall in love with the natural world that was created. And I've had a kind of a lifelong passion for learning about it. And now it's come around full circle. I actually get to teach about it. And that's what I like, is opening up the minds of these kids to, you know, get their hands dirty and find out where their food comes from and you know, taste a fresh strawberry. And if you just saw the look in their eyes when they pick something fresh and eat it, you'd realize why I do what I do.
And it really encourages them to explore food options, which, you know, are pretty limited in the lifestyle we lead today with the fast food restaurants and such. And so it's amazing how many children have never tasted a radish or a broccoli sprout or, you know, it's just beautiful, like Rob said, to see them get out there and want to taste things that otherwise they wouldn't from the grocery store.
Or maybe not even know what a radish
exactly.
is.
Yeah.
You know, as we had said in the first portion of the show,
right.
that 70% of the U.S. population at 5 o'clock doesn't know what to serve for dinner, and it's going to be a fast food situation. So there's
so
a good possibility that kids don't know what a radish is.
That's absolutely true. They don't a lot of times. So it's kind of shocking to someone who's been in the garden their whole life. But, you know, it's just such a beautiful thing to see that little light go on in them. Oh, wow, I can grow food, and I can eat it right out of the dirt. Kids love that.
Pretty amazing. That, you know, they talk about nature deficits. And that much of our young youth is categorized as having this nature deficit, that they don't relate or tie into our environment and food and gardening the way that we are. And I guess studies have shown that that there's an enormous amount of benefit that derives from students that are involved in gardening.
Mm-hmm.
Build self-esteem and empathy and those kinds of things.
Oh, absolutely.
So how do you see this touching you know, the lives of those individual students that come through your program?
Well, I have a cute little thing. I mean, it's kind of sad and cute. Children just wanting to smash earthworms or kill ladybug caterpillars because they just don't realize that they're beneficial in the garden. And the ladybug caterpillars, people don't even know children don't know that they start out as a caterpillar and then they metamorphose into the lady beetle. And so teaching them what that is just a joy to me because, you know, those are, like I say, are very beneficial in the garden and teaching them the hard work that those bugs do in the garden.
Okay. We're going to need to take a break, and this is KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Orchard Nutrition Center. For 30 years, our family-owned business has been Redding's premier choice for health foods, produce, bulk foods, and the best nutritional supplements. We pride ourselves on offering many locally produced foods. Our products are good for you and easy on your pocketbook. Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust in the Cypress Shopping Center, open every day, 8 to 9.
Here we go.
Linda Scott on the spot. Linda Scott on the spot. Hey, yeah. Linda Scott on the spot. Linda Scott on the spot.
Hi, Linda Bott here. Join me on KCNR 1460 Thursday nights at 6 p.m. We're going to talk about fashion and film, great music, lots of fun, great giveaways, and I want to thank my sponsors for making my show possible. That's the Mount Shasta Mall, Elegant Soul, and California Auto Repair and Smogs. See you here Thursday night.
Welcome back to Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy, and I'm Henry Cuenca, and I'm interviewing two gardeners. And we were talking about earthworms or something.
Ladybugs.
Ladybugs. tell us more.
Rob, you want to go ahead and give a little insight on the bug dilemma in the garden?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the kids just don't have an idea of what's out in their own yards. And part of what I like, you know, when I grew up, I had a father that was quite the gardener, outdoorsman. So, you know, I was brought up with that love of nature and being inquisitive about it and kind of took it for granted until I started doing the gardening with the kids at the schools. And then I realized just what a deficit, like you mentioned, that they have in this area. And so, you know, that inspired me to not only get involved, but to stay involved so that they could learn these things. And just one quick little story. We had a Swiss chard plant. I let it go to seed so that the kids could learn that, you know, the seeds don't just come in packages.
Yeah, exactly. The full cycle.
And so this plant was very tall and full of seeds, and I saw a few ants running around on it, and I went, oh, I know why they're on there, because there's aphids, because ants will tend aphids on a plant. So I grabbed a magnifying glass and went over and looked, and then I got the kids over there, and you should have seen the expression on their faces. They saw what was going on that plant with the ants and the aphids.
So the ants were eating the aphids?
No,
actually the ants will tend the aphids almost like little gardeners themselves.
Yeah.
Because
really?
It's like
a companion. Like a companion then.
Yeah, they herd them around like cattle.
They'll actually pick them up from the ground and take them onto a plant so that they will then produce a honeydew substance, the aphids do, and then the ants scrape that off and use it as a sugar food source.
Well, that must have been a revelation to your students.
Well, especially at 12 power.
Yeah, exactly. With a what? Yeah, they get really excited.
Rob, what makes you so good at what you do?
I'd say patience.
I wouldn't think that it would be patience, but really.
Yes.
I've just always had a love of nature, and being in a school environment, even though I was, you know, a landscaper, groundskeeper, working with the kids always kind of inspired me. I've got topiaries at different schools, you know, big dragons, eagles, Mickey Mouse, cougars, different things that are school mascots. And, you know, I do that because the students really enjoy it. And the more I can get any student to think about, you know, the natural world and the plants and things around them and be a good steward to the earth like I was taught to be, that's what keeps me going, you know. And I get them out there to help to pull weeds, you know, trim plants, plant annuals. I've had charts on the walls. I've had classes come out and plant whole beds of annuals, one plant per child.
And it's so exciting to see the kids come with their parents and talk about, wow, look at Mom and Dad, I did this. I planted this garden here.
So there's an enormous amount of esteem, right? And I guess mentoring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tracy, have you seen specific cases of where our icon here is, the students just want to herd to him?
Wow. You should. In fact, 20 at a time at least. And
really?
Then he has to say, I'm sorry, you know. Or both of us had to thin the crowds out, so we made a schedule where we would have groups of maybe 5, 6, 7 at the most on different days of the week, and so we had to schedule it like that so we could keep it, you know, keep our patience.
Right.
It was fun to see them all want to do it.
It actually started out, we'd have to beg one of the teachers for the after-school program to get us, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 kids that might be interested. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the point where you had to start saying, sorry, too many.
So how did this whole thing get started?
Well, it was a grant, like Rob had mentioned, grant-based, to get children to eat healthier. It all started with that.
This came from the state?
The county? Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't remember where the grant came from. The school district knows that. They told me, and I just don't remember the details, so I'm sorry about that. But we did get about $5,000 to get a garden started. And once it was established, there was some sort of clause or something that said you could keep it going, so they would fund it a little bit longer if we had it initiated. And so we got a partner, which was Lowe's Home Store, and they were wonderful. I went out and got them, and they supplied a lot of the materials for us, the irrigation, the garden shed, a lot of the seeds and
plants. They really got behind this.
Lowe's was awesome. So,
terrific.
Yes,
wonderful.
They really
glad to hear that.
Enjoy partnering with schools and helping them out in this way to help children learn healthy ways. And so that was the basis of where it started from.
And apparently it has grown, right?
Well, Rob coming on board, and he's teaching a lot of structural stuff in the garden, which has been a fantastic addition, how to create the beds. We have a little, over at Sycamore School, we have a little mini orchard that the children helped put in, and it consists of 6 trees, 2 cherry, 2 plum, and nectarines. Yeah. So.
And Ron, about how many hours a week, being retired, about how many hours a week are you volunteering for this gardening program?
Well, it usually works out twice a week, a couple hours with the kids at Sycamore School. And then I put in a few extra hours because we're still building these gardens out, putting in planters and adding irrigation. And some of that, I can't have the kids pack a 50-pound block.
Not hardly.
But they want to. You know.
Do all schools have gardening programs?
No, not yet.
Uh-huh. So is it... It sounds like maybe
new. It's a new initiative that's happening. And the Food and Farm Coalition is involved. They hold a lot of meetings that I was going to, and I'm sure Rob goes to also, and that's how I met with Lowe's. They were at the meeting telling people that they were interested in being partners with schools. Mm-hmm. So, it's...
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me, do you ever stop and reflect as to what effect is going to have on your students 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now?
Yes, I do that all the time. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm sure Rob does too, yeah.
You know, I've been at the school long enough that trees I've planted 25 years ago, now there's groups of people standing under them in the shade in the heat of summer.
Boy, we need that, don't we, in Reading?
And wouldn't that be beautiful for a child to come back 25 years later and say, hey, I helped plant this tree?
Well, you know, Tracy, because every Arbor Day I get with the Wonderland Garden Club, which is now I think called the Reading Wonderland Garden Club. And we come out and do an Arbor Day presentation at one of our school sites and plant at least 1, sometimes 2 trees every spring. And we have 1 or 2 classes that come out. Right now, kind of in the same vein as the grants, we have a Healthy Student Initiative, which is a new state grant, and Cypress Elementary has got in on that. And they provided funds for almost a 3,000-square-foot garden that we're developing at Cypress.
That's to sound like a very large undertaking.
Tell them about the bag of food you just
Yeah, that's a big, just a few weeks ago we took two big garbage bags full of lettuce, cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, and onions, and this all goes right to the cafeteria and gets washed and clean and chopped up and served.
Boy, how can you beat that?
Mm-hmm. I know.
How can you beat that?
And the kids absolutely love when they're eating the food that they've grown. Mm-hmm.
Well, they would have
and
to.
And it does get them to eat their lettuce and radishes and carrots and broccoli. And
well, of course. Yeah. And I presume all this means that all these vegetables are organic?
Yes, they are.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Terrific.
I'm truly organic.
We're going to take our break now. This is KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, the home of free fire media.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
Human success is produced not so much by great pieces of good fortune that seldom happen, as by little advantages that occur every day. Ben Franklin was a wise man. Great wisdom cannot be ignored. Five Star Bank wants to be your hardworking partner in success. In today's changing landscape, Five Star Bank understands that emerging businesses need those little advantages on a daily basis. Five Star Bank knows that businesses need to create new markets and established businesses need to stay competitive. Whether you're looking for a banking partner to help you build your business, your real estate portfolio, or tackle that addition on your home, look to Five Star Bank. Five Star Bank is ready to partner with you to acquire, develop, and finance property. Yes, good things can happen. Smart people doing good business. Visit us, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call us at 223-6652. On the web, fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hello, folks. I'm Bob, the Mount Shasta Spring Water Drop. It's no wonder that Mount Shasta Spring Water is the preferred choice here in Northern California and Southern Oregon. It's natural, it tastes good, and it's healthy for you. If you are not drinking Mount Shasta Spring Water, you owe it to yourself to give it a try. Give us a call at 1-800-922-6227 and start enjoying the refreshing taste of Mount Shasta Spring Water today. When you call, tell them you want the Bob the Drop special. Mount Shasta Spring Water, naturally the best.
Welcome back. This is the Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, and this is Henry Cuenca with our guests. And, Trace, I wanted to ask you, what is the effect that this gardening program has with administrators or even other teachers?
Well, they're very interested in this because they know that it's an aspect of education that wasn't happening in the schools, and we really do have to stay linked with the environment that we live in to keep it healthy and keep ourselves healthy. So the administrators and teachers are completely on board, and most of them are gardeners also, so they're mm-hmm. really excited about it being initiated in the schools.
So then they would have to really support this
oh, absolutely,
this whole
and
endeavor.
They do, uh-huh. completely, yeah. They're really getting into it.
Do you fill up your class size? I mean, you have to have a capacity of number of students that you can bring into your program. Do you reach capacity, or mm-hmm. are you now telling them, no, we can't take on anymore?
Well, yeah, the after-school program does stay really full. It does have to turn. They do have a waiting list. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing now that we have a garden initiated how many parents want their children to be part of that.
Really?
Because
so
they don't have that experience at home. A lot of them say their grandparents have a garden, but their own parents, the life that they live every day doesn't have any gardening involved. So parents are completely into this.
It really sounds mm-hmm. like you have been planting seeds
mm-hmm.
that weren't really noticeable, right?
You know, one seed that's coming to actually to fruit right now is the expansion of this whole idea. We're breaking ground after the first week of July at Bonneville Elementary,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to have about a 70-foot by 70-foot garden with a little orchard, herb gardens, and vegetable beds over there. And we're also teaching them composting and recycling.
God, isn't that absolutely wonderful? Yeah. Absolutely wonderful.
It really was becoming a lost art, and we're trying to bring it back. But the changes in the children, who really, I mean, it's in our souls naturally.
I think so.
Has given it to us.
Sure.
Yeah. And it just needs to be nourished. And, you know, with mentors, like you were saying, with adults who have, have been working in it for a while and passing that on. And, I mean, that's how life always is. We have to pass on what we know and what we feel is the right thing to carry on with. So these children really, really flourish under this. I have a nice little story about a boy who... He was in trouble a lot. He wasn't a popular kid. He was a fighter on the playground. And
how old was he?
He was fifth grade at this fourth and fifth grade, right in those 2 years. And he was always getting into fights. And he was in the after school program. And so we started doing the garden. And he just we got him working in the garden. He was a strong boy. You know, he had a lot of muscles and. You know, just a naturally strong boy. So we got him digging some of the holes, and he just was so excited about that. He felt so valued, and you could tell because he actually we hooked him up with some smaller children, the kindergartners and first graders, while we were there also. We supervised. And we would teach him the details of the garden, and then we asked him to please take a group over there while we worked with another group. And he would pass on that information word for word. It was a beautiful thing to see because he became a teacher himself.
He took charge.
Oh, he took charge. And he was so gentle and loving with these little kids. He would tell them. And it was amazing how well he would convey it, what we had taught him. It was a beautiful thing to see. It really was.
It had to have been.
And it turned this feisty little boy into this loving, nurturing
what a transition.
Person in fifth grade. I know. It was beautiful to watch.
Well, you know, this answers my question. I was going to have studies say that gardening with children builds self-esteem.
Oh,
and I think that's
yeah.
that's the example of what gardening can
do. Every day he was asking for an opportunity to be out in that garden.
Isn't that wonderful?
He felt so valued and so... he just felt like he could contribute out there.
Well, he was contributing,
yeah, absolutely.
Right?
He was, completely.
Do you know what effect it may have had inside the classroom?
Well, he was a calmer boy. He just had a different perspective, I think.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was much more nurturing, so he wasn't into the, getting into the fights as often. It really did seem to gentle him down, I guess you would
well,
have.
That's what researchers are proving.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, do you have a story that you could relate to us of some of these wonderful experiences?
You know, there's so many small examples of these kids helping each other out is what I really like. And it seems like at first they come out and they just want to be their own little world, and pretty soon they're all cooperating together and they're parceling out little jobs. Okay, well, if you pull that weed, I'll do this. And you really
teamwork.
Yeah, teamwork. And you really only have to give them minimal amount of instruction and then let them try it on their own, because that's how they're going to learn, is getting their hands in the dirt and figuring out that the plant is too deep or too high by their own observations. And when they make small mistakes, I don't say anything, because they just need.
Well, you need to learn by mistakes, right?
Exactly.
Right.
You know, and so I don't hover over them. I let them make small mistakes. And if it's real bad, then I'll correct it and I'll show them what I did.
Mm-hmm. Rob is extremely patient on the garden. It's a really beautiful thing to see for a strong man, and get out there and nurture these children and how to grow things is just a lovely sight.
Well, that's kind of consistent with gardening. I mean, you have to be patient, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't be a bulldozer.
Yeah,
because
you do. If you're a bulldozer out there, nothing grows.
Right.
So
yeah, exactly.
You have to
so that's
to
hand
teach
in
them
hand.
How to be gentle. Yeah.
You know, if we just have a few minutes left, I just wanted to kind of say, if anybody out there, especially I'm thinking of parents or students that might be listening that are wondering how can their school have a garden. If you want to, feel free to call me sometime. I have a phone number.
Sure.
It's 510-2323, and I'd be glad to come out to your school, maybe meet with a parents' club or administrator, whoever.
Well, that's wonderful.
Help you start one.
And the phone number again was?
It's 510-2323.
And that's Robert Abernathy. Well, that's wonderful. I'm sure that you're going to hear it from an awful lot of people. And this pretty much... concludes this segment, and I want to thank both of you, for coming to our show.
Thank you.
And this has been a wonderful learning experience to have experts like you two come and share what lives that you're changing. If you have a compelling story and you would like to share that possibly on our show, you can email me at hrc8@aol.com. And also the same email address, I can send you the BMI work chart. And we look forward to speaking with you again. This is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta, Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. And have a terrific weekend.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is...